Welcome to Gin and a Mug podcast, where myself, Sally Rose, and my good friend Amanda Jane catch up each week for a debrief. There will be some tough subject and some swearing, you've been warned, but there'll also be a lot of laughs, oh, and a lot of gin. We hope you enjoy.
Oh, there we go. Now we've got it working. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Sally.
You know, I always swore, Sally, that I would never do a podcast, and yet here I am.
Amanda's lost it.
I have. You know, weeping woman, give her a ticket. Kick her in the guts.
Let's go. Can't I just sit in my car and cry?
It's a bit of a niche. bit of a bespoke boutique area.
It may just see for us. I swear I have PTSD, and I'm not joking, from dealing with the NDIS.
The politically correct, comfortable phrase.
I believe, Sally, it's called a life-limiting condition. Mm. Hoping for sponsorship?
Yeah, just any local gin. If you want us to get drunk on your gin, we will.
We're laughing, but that's what we do when we feel like shit. So
cheers, Sally.
Cheers.
Oh, could you hear that? Recording in progress. I'm even going to hold my microphone like a true professional.
Hang on. There we go. Is that better?
It's great. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
I'm good. This, for everyone at home, this is third time lucky for us today. Third time? Second time.
Okay, boomer.
we tried this morning. We were meant to meet up for a podcast this morning, and I got a text from Amanda. I actually got a phone call. It was a voicemail because I didn't get it the first time. Mm. And it was, so I'm still at home. I'm in my pajamas. This is how it is.
it was just a day. That's all I could say. It just wasn't going to work. And then you were going to come up here in your car so we could record in the van.
And then I remembered I had an appointment, so I was going to meet with a service provider to hear about their services. And then I went, oh, I can't be fucked. And I was on my way there, and I did that thing where you ring, I'm going, oh, sorry, you know, can't make it. And I lied and said, Will's not well. And karma's a bitch.
Because?
Will's not well. I actually went fishing first.
Went for, oh, my God, I hope the provider's not listening.
Oh, fuck it, I don't care. It was mental health. It was needed.
Okay. Well, that's all good, my darling.
Went for a bit of a fish until school called. And, Will was doing sleepy time again.
And I actually saw, did you have
– yeah, that's good.
So did you have to wait for your partner to come home?
Yeah, so I went and picked her up from school, and by the time I got there, she just wanted to come home, or they just wanted to come home. And then by the time I got there, they were sound asleep, got them into the car. Electric wheelchairs, amazing. Just
thank God.
I know, makes it so much easier. And then, yeah, they were just out cold and got home and just couldn't get them out. They just wouldn't wake up. So I decided to, like a baby in the car, you know, back in the day when they were babies, you just sit in the car. So I drove to the bottle shop, which is only 5 minutes away, and bought a single can of gin and tonic because by then it was 3 o'clock-ish, and drove back and just sat outside my house for a bit.
I guess given this situation, it would have been Gordon's.
It was a Gordon's.
It was a Gordon's classic moment.
That's my self-harm. But the bit I haven't told you yet is then they had a fucking seizure in the car. It was only about 30 seconds or so. I was already when I picked them up, I was like, oh my God, this just hurts every time you see them like this. Like everyone's just sleepy time and you make it really casual for everyone around you. But it's horrible. It's really horrible. And then that, but quite proud of myself for not racing off to the hospital because they're fine.
And what else? What are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
That you can't do at home.
If it was longer or something, then I probably would have, but or I would have called you. See, I didn't call you straight away because I only call you when I know I have to go to the hospital and I need you to tell me that.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yes, that's been my afternoon. It's been like that. But I mean,
so to sort of bring everyone up to scratch, we are therefore Zooming. I am looking quite saucy on my couch in my pajamas. Sally has her laundry hanging up behind her.
But I've turned the heater off that they're on for, you know, great audio quality. I'm a professional.
As you do. So, look, that's, I think the hard thing, there's lots of hard things about what you're saying. And it's that realization that sometimes denial is not helpful because I frequently live in that place.
Just a brief pause for adulting.
So we were talking about denial. We're in denial. And I was saying that whilst, you know, we like to live in that blissful place, there are times where it comes crashing on your head. And today sounds like it was one of them for you.
It was. It was a bit of quick karma for bullshitting. Just one of those times in that I've got the baby monitor out again so I can stop. I was running back and forth checking on them all the time and then I went, monitor for this so I can sit back.
That was the whole point of it. Yeah, that was
and
the whole point.
Relax. No one else can see my little quirky marks there.
Yeah, but you can at least drink wine.
I can.
And in one place and large quantities of it. And one of the visuals that everyone else is missing is that Sally swigged the dregs from the bottom of the bottle. She wasn't wasting a drop. I'm so proud.
Oh, thank you. But I've still got to stay at a level where I can drive. So this is it for me.
Now, I've just disappeared off the screen because I'm checking something. I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah, I can still hear you. We're still recording.
Excellent. So you can edit that out because that's very unentertaining radio. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
It's very entertaining for the listening viewers.
The listening viewers, yes. Now, we had some things that we wanted to discuss, and I'm looking through our text messages, and there's a picture of some wooden beads that we made jokes about that we shouldn't say on air. Now, you sent me a note because we forget everything unless we write it down.
Yep.
So you've got lunchbox.
Yep.
Dog food and vaccinations.
Yes, they are my things. And
yes,
then
let's
things
discuss
as well. Do you want me to start with me?
Yeah, let's make it about you, darling.
All right. So lunchboxes. We discussed once before about the pressure of lunchboxes. You know, you know aides are gonna look and all that sort of stuff. And I had a morning yesterday.
A Vegemite sandwich, just you know.
Or we can just like do that, like a sweep out of the cupboard and just chuck some shit in it and send them off without thinking about it. Like as long as there's food, who cares? And I had one the other morning where I hadn't been to the shops. There was so much fruit in the house, but none that I could send to school. Can't send apples, pears, oranges, mandarins.
No, you've got to puree them if you're going to send them, and that's like a whole other job and a half. Yeah,
I know, and there wasn't anything I could just grab and chuck in there, so it ended up, like, it was still good. Like, there was a cup of soup and some crackers they could eat and some shit got put in there. But it was just annoying me that I couldn't just grab some stuff and everything just takes that bit longer. And then must have been a couple of mornings ago because yesterday morning I – was running a bit late, so I said to Steve, can you just pack Will's lunch? And he just chucked it in and sent it off. When I picked up Will from school yesterday, they said to me, so Mum, why was there dog food in my lunchbox? Soap? What was the soap about? Now, the other morning, Steve had threatened to put in a thing of dog food. It's one of those little fancy, you know, ones that you give to a chihuahua.
Yes.
Who's amazing. So you give them stupidly fancy dog food. And he joked about it and he actually did it. And I was like, oh my God. And I rang him and I told him that the principal had called me. And I tried to make Will tell him that it was really yummy and that they'd eaten it. But of course, they won't lie, even as a joke.
Yeah.
So I walked in this morning to the learning center and went, hey, everyone. So was anyone here yesterday? And one of the aides went, yeah, the dog food. I went, has anyone called welfare yet? Because my idiot partner thought it'd be hilarious to put it in there. And I told the story how I said the principal had rung me yes. and everything. And the aide actually said I was trying to convince Will to take half out and then tell you that we had fed it to her. And Will wouldn't do it though. They were just trying to pretend. So they've got senses of humor, which is good. And then they asked about the soap. And I said, well, of course you wouldn't feed her the soap because it wasn't cut into, you know, 0.8 by 0.8.
0.8, yeah.
Squares. So
nice.
Oh, yeah, what school must think of me?
Oh my God. Well, that's quite something. Wow.
At least they've got senses of humour. They know I'm an idiot to know that I haven't really put dog food in my child's lunchbox just because.
Yeah, but also Wilson's really funny because they used to like do the videos with you. Remember? Yeah.
They've got a good sense of humour.
That was really funny. Yeah.
But they don't have it in them to bullshit anymore. Like they won't play along with the a joke.
Part of that's also being a serious teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
actually kind of it's actually kind of cool, but oh, seriously.
I so thought I was gonna get welfare called on me. But anyway, we've kept it up. I think I don't know what was in there today. I haven't even opened it yet, but there'd be something. This packet of tea has gone back and forth about 50 times.
A packet of tea?
Yeah, like actual tea leaves in a box, like Earl Grey.
Why?
Tea. I don't know. He just sneaks it in there every day, thinks it's hilarious. Will thinks it's funny. Comes on.
Oh, okay. It's their joke.
Yeah.
It's their joke. Yeah.
It's their joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. The other thing I was going to talk about is vaccinations. I don't know if we've talked about this on here yet. I don't think we have.
We've talked about it with amongst ourselves. So you're vaccinated and I'm vaccinated.
Yes.
Which is a thing of beauty.
Feel good.
Grateful.
And all the feels to everyone else in Australia. I feel
God.
I don't often use the word blessed.
Privileged.
I do feel fucking lucky.
I feel very privileged.
Yeah.
Because we're still.
Privileged. That's a great word. Yeah.
We're privileged. We get to pretty much live our lives in a fairly standard way. We check into venues, but, you know, it's all been fairly just fortunate. Yeah, privileged because we get to pretty much live our lives as they were before.
Mm.
Pretty close to it. And then I just hear and read about like the people in New South Wales and the ones that were in Melbourne, they're in lockdown. I know we had our own lockdown last year, which was pretty hard and unpleasant, but not like Sydney and Melbourne's. And I just think about how that would be. I look at my own children. So for my son, there's no way he'd be even remotely worried because he's a homebody. It'd be like business as usual.
Introverts are made for this life.
You know, it is their place. But just on a purely selfish level, I cannot imagine sustaining caring for Maddie for like months, repeated lockdowns. I mean, I would because I have to, but oh my goodness. It's sort of that leads nicely into. We were going to talk about getting our kids vaccinated, but
we can do that after. Lead into this because this is the important bit.
Well, it's sort of realizing that. So I've just mentioned that I have my utmost. My heart actually aches for some of the parents in the tribe who are parenting in lockdown with kids with special needs and different needs. I suppose even more specifically, if your child has behavioural challenges like Maddie does, how exhausting, how absolutely exhausting that can be. Because so during last lockdown, I had a couple of carers who didn't feel comfortable coming, so there would be days and days and days on end without support. And I think one of the things that kept me going at the time was that, I don't know, I just thought, oh, well, look, there's going to be long-term repercussions about this, but I'm okay. You know, yeah. I'm okay. And the other day it kind of sort of hit me finally that those long-term health repercussions that I sometimes in my brain somehow had pushed off into the nether and when I'm old, I finally hit me the other day. It's like, actually, no, it's actually happening now. This the carer's role, because we're talking about care, basically like palliation and caring. It's taken its toll already. I hadn't actually, I can say it, but to actually fully understand it. So,
yeah, I think like the other day was your first acknowledgement.
Yeah.
That and you have been honest, you know, to yourself, because you can say things like, we both say things all the time, but they're words that haven't sunk in yet.
Correct.
And I think the other day was the first time you went, I can't keep doing this. This is killing me.
I actually finally realized it. So I've had all of like the tests and the bits and pieces done over the last 12 months, and it's considering what I live with, I'm doing pretty well. But you know, I do you know what started off? It was the ear infection.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm about to sneeze.
Not COVID.
Vaccinated. So I had got this ear infection. Did we talk about that?
No,
on the podcast?
No.
Okay. So I have – Maddie likes to stick a finger in my ear. You know, as she do. She thinks it's hilarious, and she's got quite long nails because she doesn't like them being cut. So I didn't really think about it, but also because she's a bit, you know, she's a sensory seeker, shall we say, and so her hands are just – in all kinds of crap on a regular basis. So I've ended up with this raging ear infection. And the reason that sort of stood out was because I've not been one to get that sort of stuff. Like, I've had the toughest immune system. Like, I backpacked around Mexico and, you know, all sorts of places, never got sick. And then I realized, oh, okay, that's a bit different. And then she'd had a few days of trialing a new medication, which was brilliant, but it basically kept her disc going all night again. So
Sleep debt.
So beyond my normal one, where I'll wake up several times a night and I'll just be dozing on the couch and getting some level of rest, but not really. This is hardcore. This is back to the waking at 2 o'clock and jumping around like a fiend. And
which, if anyone remembers back to being, I don't want to just brush over that point, because that isn't something to be brushed over. That was days and days and days, and you already don't get huge amounts of sleep.
Correct. Yeah.
Of 2 a.m. starts. The difference between you and me, when, you know, Will's only in the last 2 years been a sleeper, before then no sleep, but when they're not sleeping, they're quite happy just to listen to an audio book or play on their iPad, stay in their room. They may not be asleep, but I could still sleep or at least rest. Whereas Maddie is jumping up and down.
She's literally bouncing on my bed. She's hitting me. She's pulling like whatever rug I've got on me off me. She'll throw bottles on my head to wake me up, to get me to come and watch High Five with her. Yeah. And it's relentless. And I forget, but there was just a moment. It doesn't matter what the exact moment is. We're not in a movie. It's not a movie scene. but there was just this moment where I went, shit, the damage to my health that I think is off in the future, that is actually now. I can feel it. I can feel the toll has been taken.
And it is, tiredness does destroy your body. And, you know, I do do a bit of stand-up where I talk about how I used to, when I got really bad anxiety, and this is true, like in my teens especially, I used to always be that every little niggle I felt, I thought that I was going to die. You know, oh, there's a pain there. Oh, I'm having a heart attack. Pain there. Oh, appendicitis, and I've got to rush to hospital. And quite often as a young teen, I did get rushed to hospital because the anxiety attacks were so bad. I really thought I was dying. And there was a moment, it was years ago, where I stopped worrying about that, and that anxiety went away because I'm so fucking tired. I was actually hoping I was dying, and that took that anxiety away.
And
not true. Things, but it is true. You get fucking tired.
And it's this level of fatigue where and it sort of it comes in that big circle around grief because the grief and the not knowing what the future holds, which is, look, that is a universal theme, and especially in this current age of COVID and
but we don't know what a freaking day holds. Will went off to school this morning, perky as fuck. I don't know, but she was. And then
seizures and
a seizure and me staring at a monitor. And every time they move, I'm like, oh, she's gonna are they? So pronouns are bad when I'm stressed. Are they gonna keep moving or no, they've stopped again. I'm just looking at it now.
And that's it, isn't it? It's like you've got these the health issues are there, and it's not just the mental health, grief, stress, background issues of, you know, pandemic, apocalypse.
Such an apocalypse.
End days. It's Revelations. Jesus, it's Revelations. But it's more sort of that combines with grief and just overall lack of losing the ability to
function.
That's the one. You don't have, because I'm 51, I don't have that rebound that I had when I was younger. But on top of that, it's cumulative. I think that's what I'm getting at. This is cumulative.
And that's the thing, you have an afternoon off and you have a rest. See, I used to like get a couple of hours off, put my feet up, watch a movie, and I'd feel rejuvenated. You know, go off and get your nails done. I've never got my nails done in my life. You know, whatever people do, you just go do an activity or have a rest and you feel rejuvenated. It doesn't happen anymore.
No, and I think that's not just the age thing. It's that background hum of, and that's how I think of it, as it's like a background hum. We're always, as parents, if you connected and love your children, there's that invisible string that goes between you and the child that that is always present and connects you. Our situation is there's that, but it's just you never stop. You never, the vigilance never stops. Mm. And the minute you kind of relax, it's like you were saying earlier, karma or fate steps in and says, and hi.
Bad, I know. I just went for a fish. I didn't go very far away. I just went and threw the rod in within half an hour. Text message.
Yeah.
No, Will needs to come home.
It's like fate tapping on your shoulder and saying, excuse me, could you come back to your life now, please? Yeah, hello. But no, also like don't forget what your life is.
I keep trying to, and I will never stop trying to have some normality in my life, where I am not 100% as I'm staring at a monitor of my child, where I'm not 100% focused just on my child. Because that's not healthy for them. And even, you know, I was meant to go host a quiz tonight and my partner's gone off to do it instead. But I'll still make an effort to go tomorrow night and do it, even if they're still not that well. Either I'll get a support worker or bring them with us and they sit in a beanbag at the back of the pub.
But the point, Sal, because if you don't keep
doing stuff.
And well, there's a, and what, so what the big, you know, big elephant in the room that we're saying, not saying, but I will say now is that there will come a time where we won't be able to leave, where we won't be able to go out, where our kids are going to be so unwell and so sick that we don't, that we don't go out. And that's, you know,
fucked.
Denial. That's just, sorry, back to denial.
We're both teary at the same time. Doesn't normally happen.
No, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not going to think about it. Not going to think about it.
But it is. But there will also be a time where I'm going to go further down this path. I'm going in deep.
Yeah.
Where there'll be a time where they're not here. And I don't want to then just be this hollow shell because I've got nothing else. And I know that will happen. And I know that's, you know, really trying to, and but I've always been like that because I know other parents who just are hollow shells after their kids leave home and grow up. And I've always, even before this, not wanted to be that person.
And see, I think what I'd really like to do, and hopefully she's listening. Hi, Auntie Josephine. as much for like just, I'm just interested. My Aunt Josephine, if she's listening, which I know she does, so hi. She too is in lockdown because she lives on the mainland. But she had a daughter who, my cousin, who had special needs, who passed away. And I'd really like to talk to her about what that was like.
I think that'd be a good idea because I do hang on to those people, and I this is so weird and so I don't know if it's sad or pathetic or smart. It's one of those. But I look at people who have a kid who's passed away, and there's someone particular who I love so much, who I'm very close to, who I know through the hospital, and it's like you still live. And you still enjoy life and you still function. And I
how did that happen? How do you do it?
Imagine being able to do that. I can't even fathom living another breath after my child, you know, wasn't here anymore. But people do it all the time and I can't understand how.
So I think that's sort of one of the things that perhaps for our own benefit as well, as well as the viewing listeners, but I would like to, and I mean, how do you do that in a sensitive way? Say, well, I'd like to talk to you about your grief experience after the death of your child, you know.
I think maybe we should. I mean, and if your aunt is, you know, willing to talk about it, I'll talk to this person and see if they would like to talk about it because I think if we're wondering how the fuck people do that,
then everyone else in the same boat must be as well.
Yeah.
And it's not just, and I suppose that opens up to something else I think about, which is our kids are, our children are never our own. There's a whole, you know, concept that the whole process of raising children is learning to let go. And I think about all of the other people who are in, like, Maddie's life, all of the teachers through primary school and the aides and the different therapists and different support workers who do genuinely love her and care about her.
Many.
What's their grief going to be like? How are they going to feel? What's the other side look like for them? What other losses have they had in terms of, like, the health professionals that have cared longer term. But, you know, it's just the whole thing.
Oh, I'm interested in the whole thing. That's interesting because I was thinking that exact thing. Oh, man, I'm a bally mess tonight. But we went back to visit primary school the other day.
Oh my God.
And everyone who was just like, Wilson's here. Oh, my God. And all these teachers just come out of class and the principal was like, oh, today has been so shit. You are some sunshine in my day.
And
everyone was just genuinely so happy to see Will, and they are so loved by so many people. And I've, as I keep saying, like, this would be so much easier if my kid was a complete asshole, you know? Like, and everyone would just be glad they're gone. No.
Nothing.
I'm just sad tonight. Yeah, it is one of those things where, oh, and that's where I was leading, is I actually had that conversation with Michelle, the Pete.
Oh, yeah.
And during one of our many conversations we've had in the family room, I said,
oh, mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I everyone said, knows that mum. That mum.
The mummy doctor.
Yeah. Mummy doctor. Yeah. Mum.
I said, I'm doing this once. You've had to have this conversation probably hundreds of times.
Mm.
I can't even imagine how horrible that is for you. And they actually said it's not nice, but it's a privilege to be able to be with people. And this is my job. Like, yeah, it's there's so many people that it would affect.
Yeah. So I think I'm kind of, I think not just for our own selfish, self-serving need to know, but I think everyone listening too, because if people are listening to this podcast, you know, besides the people who just are our mates, there are people listening to this who are in similar situations. And, you know, it, like we said at the very beginning, this is a taboo topic. This is not something we talk about. We don't ask people, so how are you doing now? You know, what's going on?
See, kids did. How did you do that? Like,
you know, it's like, so we just don't want to, I don't want to be insensitive.
Well, obviously not. But, I mean, maybe there's someone listening who has been through that who would like to talk to us or even just write us something and we can read it out even, you know, it's, I don't know. Well, it's a hard thing to approach someone. So,
would you like to go into the intimate details of your grief about how it is after your child passed away? The reason I'm also interested in talking to Auntie Jo again, hi Auntie Jo, hi Uncle Ron, is because she did the parenting that we do now in the 70s and the 80s, before there was NDIS, before there was even anything, before there was therapy groups, before there was early intervention, before there was like a whole bunch of physio, you know, and
then your options were nothing or give your child up.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm interested to talk about, because when we think about the lives of our kids and then you reflect back on the lives of, well, what would that have been like 200, 300 years ago? And the answer is our kids would have been dead.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, so many times by now.
Yeah, they would have been dead, not just from disease and natural causes, but because they would have been put in asylums and et cetera, et cetera. But I want to know. It's a history that is worth knowing about.
Might even be interesting if we could find someone who used to nurse back then or something.
Very much so. So, look, if you're listening and you've got form in this area, sorry, that's not a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, form in this area. That's
form. If you've lived a life, if you've got form, we'd really like to have a chat, because I think this is something where everyone would benefit. We would all benefit.
Yeah.
From knowing and remembering where we come from.
And that's the thing, if it's something that we both need to know, then the people listening who are in a similar situation, they, you know, we'd have to assume that want to know too, and it'd be something they'd be interested in.
There is a great book I've got. So we all know, well, not there's a bit of an assumption, but Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on death and dying.
No,
so
I
you
don't
know the on stages of grief.
No,
and anger, denial, bargaining, acceptance, all that sort of stuff.
I've heard all that. Yeah,
yeah.
I haven't read the book.
Kubler-Ross on death and dying is the book. She was, you know, it's there's some debate about its accuracy, relevance, etc. these days. But the fact is, she was one of the early ones. She actually also wrote a book, and I have it here, about children and dying,
wow,
and about how children experience the process. And it's quite a good read. I'll take a picture. I'll go scrambling through my bookshelf in a minute, and we'll put it up on the Facebook page. So that's quite an interesting read. I read it before I knew any of this, so it was more for my own work at the time as a peds nurse. Doing part to working with the kids who were dying. So yeah, I think there's a few things interesting coming up for us to be talking about. That's not so much about us, but is definitely for everyone's benefit and interest.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting paths to take, because you know, as you said, it's not necessarily about us, but it's stuff we are interested in.
Yeah.
And it will take us in a slightly different direction, but I'd love to have some conversations with other people.
Now I'm gonna have to call it a night, Miss Sal, because I can hear my beautiful son coming up.
All right. Well, that will I was going to talk about dystopian futures, but we can do that next time.
Pity.
Yeah, I
love a bit of dystopia.
I know. Well, I used to read a heap of sci-fi books, and I could when we were in Target the other day, it was like, COVID is still rife in our community. Please stand 1.15 metres away from each other. And it was just these messages going through, and just reminded me of sci-fi books I used to read as a kid. So,
do you know, well, actually Fahrenheit 451, which I only read as an adult.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's have a chat next time, my dear.
All right. Big love to you.
Big love to everyone. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Gin and a Mug. Jump onto our Facebook group and let us know what you thought. There's also the Patreon. Feel free to chuck a few bucks in there if you want to support our gin habit, or if you want us to pay an editor to make this sound less shit. But most importantly, if this episode has brought up any issues for you, we've put the link in the show notes to Beyond Blue, Lifeline and Carers Australia. Make sure you keep talking. Big love to you all.